This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
If you search for tenderness. Welcome back, Junkies, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Time now to chat with our pal John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom. Golfdom's now selling Lululemon apparel. Yes, your favorite golf store is bringing you Lululemon golf polos, pants, shorts, and skorts, plus women's leggings and other lifestyle pieces. Go to golfdomgolf.com or visit their store in Tysons. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
John, do you have a case of bullets fever?
That's a great question. The answer would be no. I'm impressed with how well, because usually when they go on the West Coast, if they win one game, it's a great trip. To go on the coast and win three out of four, now they didn't have to play Utah, which certainly helped, I would think. And they played the Lakers without Anthony Davis, but nevertheless, three out of four is an impressive trip. And what have they won now? Five out of six, I think.
Six
out of seven. So even better. So I'm impressed. Whether I have fever is another issue. I don't tend to get fever for anybody in the NBA.
Right. Well, it's still impressive, and it suddenly makes them relevant again, which is exciting for local fans.
I don't know if we're going to get to relevant just yet. Let's let them get somewhere close to 500, somewhere where they might have a chance to make the playoffs, and then we can talk relevance.
They're 2.5 games out of that. I mean, they're right there.
John, what do you think this does for Scott Brooks going forward?
Saves his job, at least for now. I think if they had continued on the path that they were on, and I think Scott Brooks is a good coach, but I think if they had continued on the path they were on, Tommy Shepard and Ted might have felt that they needed to make some kind of move, if only for the sake of change. I'm not sure it would have done anything to improve the team. Coaching changes for losing teams rarely do. I don't think the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to all of a sudden turn things around after firing Ryan Saunders. But it's good now that Scott should feel a little more secure with his job. And, they changed the team when they made the wall trade. And it took a while for everybody to start feeling comfortable together. I'm not sure they're all the way there yet, but they're at least making progress.
All right, so there were two big stories heading into the week. I want to get your thoughts on both of them. First of all, the Tiger accident. Just jarring. It's scary. I know I personally was getting like Kobe vibes there a little bit with no report on his status, and I was just getting very concerned. But it looks like he'll be able to, survive, obviously. Who knows from there? I wouldn't bet against him. But what is sort of your take on that? And I don't know.
We are with Tiger. I mean, it's obviously sad. And we don't know yet for sure what caused the accident, but it was a one-car accident on a dry road, a winding road where you shouldn't speed. The cops made that pretty clear. There's been speculation that he was speeding because he was late. He might have been on the phone. I would think he had hands-free, but who knows? But this is kind of unless we find out something was wrong with the car. And a brand new, very expensive car, this is self-inflicted, the same way the scandal back in 2009, 2010 was self-inflicted. The injuries that he's had obviously are not, although I wonder if jumping out of airplanes to play Navy SEAL was a great idea, but there's no way to know if that has affected his body. But you want the greatest of the great. And I've always said to you guys, I think Tiger Woods, all due respect to Jack Nicklaus, is the greatest player in history. You want them to go out with that last walk-up 18 somewhere, whether it's at Augusta or in the U.S. Open or on the Swoken Bridge at St. Andrews. That's the way in golf you want your heroes to go out. And I hope that Tiger Woods can come back to at least do that. If he never plays a round of golf again, it doesn't change his legacy as a golfer.
Right. It's just a weird circumstance, you know. I'm a little suspicious, I'll be honest, and I've been open about it. You know, he kind of look a little weird in a couple of these interviews of late, and I don't know.
Yeah,
the interview with
Nance was strange.
Yeah, it was.
It was strained and strange. I mean, he went on because it's, you know, part of the deal when you're the CEO of the company that runs the tournament, although in many cases I guess it would be Genesis, but the tournament benefits his foundation. And so I'm sure, based on the way the questions came out, that there was a negotiation between Mark Steinberg and CBS. You will ask the questions about his foundation first, and let him talk about it. And then you'll ask, because they're going to want, you know, if he walked away without them asking about his health, CBS would look stupid. And so then you can ask questions about his health. And Nance asked the questions as gently as you could possibly ask. How are you feeling?
I felt like
Nance was talking to somebody in a hospital bed. And Tiger, of course, did not answer the questions. And it might have been because he just didn't know. He had an MRI scheduled for this week. But it's also because that's the way he is. He just doesn't like to answer questions that go beyond birdies and bogeys.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the Alex Smith deal. The Alex, you know, he's such a nice guy,
aren't they? Because Tiger may face the same kind of, you know, issues as Alex faced with his broken leg.
Yeah, with a compound fracture. Yeah, he's got a lot going on there.
I mean,
there's a lot
serious
to overcome.
That's a serious injury, big time.
Oh God, but terrible injury, and that's why, as usual, Rory McIlroy was the one person on the golf tour who had a sensible answer when, you know, people were asking, can he come back? Can he come back? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows that.
The surgeons who did the surgery don't know. It's a stupid question. And when I turn on ESPN and I see my friend Gene Wojciechowski, who's a terrific guy and a very good reporter, well, I spoke to three orthopedic surgeons who said that it could be 8 to 12 months, but they don't know.
Right.
That's ridiculous. But you're right. I mean, we don't know, and he's going to have to go through a hell of a lot just to live a normal life. And that was the same deal with Alex. When Alex first got hurt and then the infections and all the surgeries and almost losing the leg, the real goal was for him to be able to live a normal life, and for him to come back and play football was just as unbelievable as any story I've ever seen.
Drabby brought up something yesterday, and we kind of kicked it around for a segment, or I know it seemed like about a segment, but he said that after the accident, just seeing people on social media, that people were more affected. Drabby, you can clarify, but more affected by this than they would have been with some other star athletes. You know, he brought up LeBron. It's tough. You can't bring up Kobe.
I think LeBron would have been in the same category. I think there are only a handful of athletes, Jason, who are what I call them iconic, because people who don't follow sports know who they are. My wife is a great example. She knows who LeBron James is. She knows who Tiger Woods is. But a few years ago when I was hosting a radio show, I did a segment on Fridays with my co-host Andrew Bogish and Chris, and because I didn't want to pick football games for real, so I had them pick games. And the tiebreaker, I always had a tiebreaker question. And one week my tiebreaker question to Chris was, which Manning brother would you rather have dinner with? And she said, Eli, because I don't know the other one's name. So that's her knowledge of sports. But she knows Tiger Woods. She knows LeBron James. She knows Michael Jordan. Those are iconic figures that go beyond sports. And Tom Brady probably is in that category too. But if, let's say, you know, Drew Brees was in a horrible car accident. It would not, people would not respond the way they would respond to one of those guys being in a horrible accident.
Really?
I think you're probably right.
Oh,
right,
yeah, Drew Brees. My wife has no clue who Drew Brees is. But he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Right. Peyton Manning's
he's a great
Hall of
guy
Fame quarterback.
Too,
she had no idea who he was.
I don't know. I would think that if Brees was in a similar accident, the national media attention would be pretty similar.
Oh, yeah, national sports media. The accident would not be on A1 of the Washington Post. It would lead the sports section. But it would not be on, and I'm not picking on Brees. I'm just using him as an example. Dak Prescott, you know, pick another top NFL quarterback, you know, or one of the better players in the NBA who's not LeBron James. It's a different level. I mean, certain guys reach iconic status. That's why you see them on television all the time pitching product that goes beyond the normal person, the normal good athlete.
What I wanted to ask you, John, about Alex is the comments that he made over the weekend, and he's such a good guy that he's almost walking him back because he's trying to say, listen, I'm not upset with anyone in particular, but he clearly felt unwanted, right? At least that's the way he articulated it over the weekend. It led us to believe that that this marriage is over. Maybe we're overstating it, but what did you make of those comments?
Yeah, I don't think you're necessarily wrong. He may have decided or is leaning toward not playing. You know, he's not made any commitment in terms of wanting to play next year. They owe him a lot of money. That's one reason to play or to negotiate a buyout. I think a buyout would cost them $13.6 million. As you said, there's no nicer person than Alex. So there must have been a great deal of frustration that from last spring and summer that boiled over when he did this GQ interview. Alex is inherently honest about things. And look, I have been told by a number of people, and you can just look at the evidence, that when Ron Rivera came in and Dan Snyder gave him complete authority, he wanted his people. I mean, look at what's happened to people who were there. Kyle Smith gone. Doug Williams kind of shoved to the side, and Rivera bringing in guys he's worked with in the past, whether to be the offensive coordinator or to be the general manager who reports to the coach in this case. And I'm sure there are a lot of other positions within the organization that we don't pay attention to that Rivera brought in his own people. And look, guys do that. That doesn't make him unique by any sense. But I what Alex said was he felt like he was sort of part of the past, for better or worse, and they would mean Rivera, didn't want to deal with all the issues that he clearly had trying to come back. And, you know, he didn't say Ron Rivera is a terrible person. He didn't take any personal shots at anybody. But clearly there was a lot of frustration that led to him saying these things.
Mm-hmm. All right, John, we'll talk to you next week. And we'll see if you can get over that case of Bullets fever.
Oh, I don't know if I can. It's going to be difficult. Do you realize next week it'll be March?
I know. It's crazy.
Thank goodness.
And then conference tournaments are already starting because of this crazy schedule.
I know. Yeah. Love it.
Very, 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 very odd to be sitting here in February and March Madness has technically started. And by the way, the NCAA would prefer that you call it March Madness and not say NCAA tournament.
Why?
Because that's the way they market it themselves.
Okay.
Gotcha. Look, check out the TV microphones when they're doing post-game interviews.
March Madness is on it.
March Madness, yeah. And if you were to look at a game program, they do not say NCAA tournament on them. They say March Madness.
It's all branding.
You
that's
bet.
How it is. Yep.
You bet. And this is going to be the battle in the bubble. That's already been branded by them.
Thank you, John. We'll talk to you next
time. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks, John. Best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein joins us every Friday at 8 o'clock. Remember, we have Mark Turgeon joining us at 9 o'clock. The Terps have been playing very good basketball of late, and they should find themselves in March Madness. So we will talk to Turge coming up at 9. But coming up next, we'll revisit the quarterback situation for the Washington football team and what it means that both Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson are unhappy. That's next here on the Junkies.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106. I'm the fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Mark Turgeon, head basketball coach at the University of Maryland, will join us. Terps have won four straight.
Yep.
Got themselves back into the March Madness picture with this win streak. Have Michigan State over the weekend.
Who are also so hot.
We'll talk to Turge at 9 o'clock.
Hey, real quick, I wanted to tell you guys that, you know, we were talking about the six-game parlay that we revealed at 7:45.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so I went in and I punched in. I replaced the Raptors laying 7.5 with the money line, and I replaced Drake laying 9 with the money line.
What was the difference?
Well, $6 still pays 7.60. Mm. All right, so it's still a really good payoff. Now, it's not 1,700.
Right.
All right, so it's about a $1,000 difference, but it's six-game parlay with just those two money lines pays, you know, almost $800. So
do you have two separate parlays going now?
No, I didn't put it in, but maybe I will for a couple.
Up?
I might for a couple of bucks. I don't know.
Does everybody want to put in another buck?
Sure, of course.
To cover ourselves, and then we're going to get boned on the
McDowell pick. I'll put the Grasper parlay in. Why not?
We'll talk about it
later. $3, $2, who cares?
$2. I'm willing.
We'll get boned on your loser.
Mine? You don't even know what it is.
Yeah, it is. The Celtics.
Celtics. Yeah.
Celtics money line.
Yeah, come on, man.
NBA aficionado.
The original $6 bet.
More than you're a NASCAR aficionado.
I'd say same level.
It would pay out $1,756. But you're saying to play it safe with just money line on the NBA games.
Pay $760.
Yeah.
And that was the same payout for last week, and you guys went crazy for that payout. So.
I think it was roughly around $900 last week.
All right, well, it was less than $1,000.
Doesn't matter because we went 2-4 instead of 6-0.
We're not going to win this one either. I just want to throw
hit
in.
On one
you
of them.
You need to have good vibes.
Yeah.
My vibes don't matter. I'm sure my vibes matter if Graham McDowell finishes the top 10.
Good mojo.
At the Dixie helps. 500.
Listen, Jason, put in the six. We'll all put in another buck. I'm sure Drabby and Valdez will too. Why not?
Remind me later. I'm not doing it now.
All right, so we wanted to get into the quarterback carousel, at least the talk, because a lot of people don't expect Russell Wilson to move or Deshaun Watson to move. But just to update you on where we stand, during the offseason, Washington did re-sign Taylor Heinicke. Kyle Allen, he's a free agent. Alex Smith, it appears he's unwanted, although he's still part of the roster. And we've had some quarterbacks move. Matthew Stafford, of course, is in L.A. Jared Goff goes to Detroit. But a lot of the talk has been about Deshaun Watson and now Russell Wilson. So with Deshaun, he had a sit-down with the new head coach, and the new head coach didn't win him over. Deshaun apparently still wants out of Houston.
Well, I don't know how Dan Campbell wins anybody over, right?
Well, he's in Detroit.
Dan Campbell. No,
David Culley.
David Culley.
Oh, Culley.
From the
okay,
Ravens.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
I think Deshaun's issues are more with the owner and Jack Easterby, the guy that has the ear of the owner there in Houston, more than it is with whoever's coaching the team at this point.
Well, it seems like everybody there that's played for Houston is upset. All of the iconic players,
right,
keep talking about.
So I mean, they can bring
in
whatever coach they want. I think as long as that ownership is still in place and it's not going anywhere. I mean, the owner's not going to sell.
No.
Then he has fundamental issues playing in that city for that owner and that hierarchy that's there in Houston.
Right. So Deshaun not moved by Culley, he still wants out of Houston, and apparently they've been fielding a bunch of calls, but. Reports are teams are like leaving messages and they don't even listen to them.
Right. They don't return them.
They don't even want
to
be tempted at all.
Well, who listens to voicemail hell? I can kind of relate to the texts on that. How about we speak in person or we have a text thread going back and forth?
Who
listens to voicemail?
with Russell Wilson. We talked about this earlier. Russell Wilson's camp now says, we don't want to trade. But if you do trade us, here are four teams that we're willing to go to. Washington is not among them. It's the Bears. It's the Cowboys. It's the Raiders. And who am I missing?
The Saints.
And the Saints. Right. Yeah. So there are four teams that he'd be willing to be traded to, but he's not supposedly wanting a trade. I think that the Deshaun thing's going to happen. I really do. I feel like he's the type of guy that's not going to buckle. And at some point, they're just going to have to try and see what they could get.
I think it's more likely he moves. Has he publicly said he's going to sit out? Like he's just not going to report?
He has threatened that. He has said that he would rather sit out than play for the Texans again.
Hmm. Right.
I believe him more than Wilson will be moved. I think it's higher likelihood that Deshaun gets dealt than Russell Wilson leaves Seattle.
But that's mostly because of salary implications, right? It's not because Russ doesn't seem to want to move almost as bad. It certainly seems like Russ wants out of there if he could figure out a way to make it happen.
To one of those four teams.
Which is shocking.
That's not true. Deshaun Watson has demanded a trade. Russell Wilson's agent yesterday said he doesn't want to leave Seattle.
Right, but he's given him a list of four teams.
Okay, well,
come on, man. He wants out.
I know, but earlier you said Seattle wants to get rid of him too, and that's just not true. They don't. They want to work it out.
I think Seattle's unhappy with him. I didn't say they want to get rid of him. I think Seattle's unhappy.
Well, you would be too if your quarterback was going on national media.
But you got to get a quarterback that's going to help you win games like he did. I'm not going to just trade my quarterback and get Dreck.
But does Seattle want to go?
Because he wants out.
Do they want to go into the quarterback void, like where Washington football team is? Do they want to be in that sort of territory?
I wouldn't think anybody would.
It's a big question that they have to ask. And if you have a franchise quarterback, it's hard for me to envision them dealing him away. But if it's untenable, maybe it'll happen.
I think if you're Washington, you know, I'm with EB. I'm sorry. There is nobody on this team untradeable. I know a lot of people want to say Chase Young's untradeable. If you can get Deshaun Watson, I'll include Chase Young in a package and a couple of first-round picks.
Well, I said that from day one.
And he's, in my mind, would be my top target. Like, let's just say if you could wave a magic wand and Washington was actually a player for both or could be a player for both, wouldn't you rather have Deshaun at this point than Russell Wilson? Or would you rather have Russell Wilson?
Probably just because of youth, probably. Yeah.
And he can run a little bit better. But if you're Houston, okay, I understand it's bad. I don't know how bad it is. Sounds like it's pretty bad. But you still control him. If I can't guarantee that I'm going to get something back of equal talent or someone that's going to help me get to the playoffs like Deshaun did a few times, why would I do it?
That's why, to me, it only makes sense that they would – do a deal with a team like the Jets or the Dolphins where they can pick in the top two or three and try to get that signal caller of the future in this upcoming draft. Like, why would they be interested in picking in the late teens or the 20s?
Yeah, why
it
would
doesn't
I,
seem to make sense.
If I'm Houston, why am I trading Watson to Washington? What am I getting back at that position?
Well, maybe there's a three-team trade that somehow makes it all happen.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. It's just complicated. But if I'm Houston, I'm going to try and – I'm either going to say, look, dude, you got to be happy here. We'll do whatever you want. We'll add players. You know, we'll go out and get this guy. But we're not trading you because we're not going to be in a situation where we're going 3-13 with a poopy quarterback next year. I mean, they control it. They control the situation.
Right, but they're not going to tell them that. They're not going to say we're going to do whatever you want to do.
I know.
We're
going to
say report.
Report.
You got a contract.
Or sit out and get fined.
But I brought this up earlier. What if these reports that Justin Fields is slipping are legit? All right. We talked about it. Our friend Charlie Casserly came out with his mock draft, and he had Justin Fields dropping all the way to 24. That seems like an outlier because you can also see Justin Fields drafted number 3 in other mock drafts. But you have heard that he's slipping. Mm-hmm. And if you have the draft choice right there, let's say Justin Fields is available, and Washington could draft him, but they could also package him in a deal, maybe that would tempt a team like Houston or even Seattle.
Maybe.
Possible.
A long ways away from that.
But there's a reason why he's slipping. Right.
I told you, I'll take Charlie Casserly and his wife out to dinner anywhere they want to go in Round Hill if he slips to 24.
Well, obviously that seems like a stretch, but clearly he's getting a vibe that he's slipping. So yeah. Maybe he's, you know, goes to 15 or something.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it earlier this week that one scout said they looked at over 200 throws and only 7 of them he went to a secondary receiver.
But that's everybody in college.
How many times did Trey Lance go to a second receiver?
I have no idea.
Trey Lance
just
tucked it in.
I mean, he played 4 quarters of football this year. 4.
Okay. Yeah. Well, why did Todd McShay all of a sudden put Trey Lance ahead of Justin Fields?
I don't know. I mean, because he's not a robot.
Respected.
That's his opinion. I mean, there are plenty of people who have Fields going ahead of Lance.
Of course.
Does Fields have, like, attitude issues or anything like that?
No, I don't think so.
Are there off-the-field concerns with him?
I don't think so. Wasn't he featured in QB1?
He's a good kid.
Yes. He was one of the kids, but I didn't really watch it that
closely
that year.
If I recall, I feel like his dad was a cop or something like that. I thought he was a pretty good
kid. I have
kid.
No idea. I'm just trying to figure out why he would be slipping so much. I mean, it was halfway through the season, like you say, when he had more – what do you have? He had
more touchdowns than incompletions.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy.
You're just trying to figure out where Tate Martell is in QB1. You're still
Tate
trying
Martell
to figure out where
looking
he's looking
for a team.
Look,
there
are so many
tweeting videos.
So many teams are just quarterback starved, and they're going to take a chance, and they're going to maybe you call it a reach, but they're going to make a play for Fields.
The thing that sucks is Washington doesn't seem to be in the hunt for either one of them, and Washington's pretty darn quarterback starved. I mean, I like Taylor, but I mean, come on, that's a long shot that guy could, you know, start, you know, a long time here. So why aren't people considering Washington? Well, I guess it's just because of Dan and 20 years of losing and like one playoff win or whatever we've had in the last 20 years. I guess I understand it, but it's a big enough market that we could have a superstar.
But maybe they're trying, EB, because we didn't really hear about Washington being a player with Matthew Stafford until after the trade, right? Then we found out that they were reaching out to the Lions about Matthew Stafford. So
I don't
maybe
doubt
right
that
now,
they've called.
Right, yeah. They should be in on every quarterback conversation.
Correct. I would assume
they should
be
calling everybody.
Yeah. If they didn't call, they wouldn't be doing their due diligence. If they didn't call Seattle and then didn't call Houston and say, hey, what's it going to take? I'm certain they've made the call, but it seems like there's no interest either on Houston and Seattle's part or even the players' part.
Well, not yet.
I don't see Russ saying, hey, I'd play in D.C. Now, I'd argue it's the nation's capital. We got 3 silly trophies, and we want to return to greatness, and you can do that. We're a heritage franchise here.
So
we're
dust.
Better than half the teams in the league. They're just these fly-by-night Johnny-come-lately teams.
They are?
But
you're better than half the teams in the league?
Really?
That's what I'd say. I'd say, yeah. That's my pitch. Nation's capital.
I would say
you've got a brain injury.
No, that's what I'd say. So I think I could easily make the pitch, but nobody puts DC on the radar.
I still don't understand why the Bears are in the mix.
What are you giving up? Make your pitch right now. I'm the Houston
for who?
Texans.
For which one?
Houston Texans.
For Texans? I mean, take Chase the first, the second, next year's first. Sure.
I need more than that.
Well, that's a good start. That's a good start. I mean, I don't care. That doesn't matter. You can have almost anyone to get my franchise
these
quarterback
players,
for the next decade.
These players are coming to a team that they don't even have a team mascot.
Coming in 2022,
it
sounds like.
The team.
But that's irrelevant. That doesn't mean anything.
It does if you're pitching
irrelevant.
The heritage.
Right, exactly.
Well, no, I mean, we all know what happened here, the reason why we don't have a team name. I mean, come on. This is one of the most important franchises in the league. It just is. Sorry. Is based on history.
You could rename them the
not
Watsons.
Sure anymore.
Yeah.
I would say it was one of the most important. Not currently.
Right. Well, I think it's a very relevant
But like you said, they're not interested in this team.
They don't seem to be interested. That's the thing that's upsetting to me. Is that no one seems to be clamoring to come here. They used to want to come here just if nothing else, just to get paid. But even that reputation is kind of gone, you know, because Bruce
well, that's
kept.
That's good. That's a good thing.
I don't know. At least we got guys before.
Let's not overspend wildly.
I don't care about spend. At least we had interest before. We can't even get interest now.
Yeah, but if you're going to spend, you want to spend it on the right guys and make sure they're productive.
Understood, but you're not going to hit a home run every time. Listen, it was fun when we had big, high-priced free agents come in here, even if they busted.
The lack of success.
Was winning four games fun?
It was butt fun to win the offseason. I'm psyched to win the offseason.
Well, Eric, the lack of success over the last 25 years is absolutely a factor.
Yes, I know.
You know, they
Dan's a factor.
The owner's being investigated by the league for sexual harassment factor.
He's a huge anchor around the team, doubt.
There's just a lot of red flags. I can see why they're not interested.
Yeah, but it didn't used to be that way. It was only 10 years ago or so where, if nothing else, you came here to get paid. That's now even gone.
Things change.
Does Deshaun have a no trade? He may have preferred destinations, but ultimately he can't do anything about it. If Houston hears from a team and they like the deal, can't they deal him?
I don't know.
He has a no trade clause.
Sure, he does. Yeah, I don't know what. Yes, 4-year deal and a no trade clause.
Has Deshaun put out a list like Russ's agent has? Even though Russ claims he doesn't want to leave, he's given us a list.
I don't think I've seen a list from Deshaun.
That means Deshaun would be willing to go anywhere.
I think originally.
I think he'd play on Pluto.
I want to say he said he was interested in New York or Miami a few weeks back. But I don't know. I have no idea.
Wish they'd consider us. That's all I'm saying. I just wish they'd consider us.
Dare to dream, EB. Dare to dream. It would be nice. All right, remember, we got Mark Turgeon, Terps head basketball coach, joining us at 9. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. So there were a couple stories I saw yesterday that I wanted to bring up. Non-sports related. One had to do with kind of brain function.
Okay.
And so scientists are closing in on a way to remove fear from your brain and also boost confidence. I don't know the technology
behind it. Well, I don't know if that's good.
I don't know the science. I just want to know, would you want that?
No.
Let's say, EB, you've got a fear of heights, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Would you want
them
to dip into your brain and just pull that out so you wouldn't be afraid of heights?
No, I think
Are you kidding?
Your brain is supposed to have
fears. It's there
fears.
To protect me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want that
alive.
Fear gone.
Yeah, but you don't think you have too many fears?
Oh, I have too many. There's a lot. But
maybe,
I think your brain needs a healthy dose of fear.
I think what they want to do is remove
it doesn't hurt
fear
me.
And boost confidence. Wouldn't you rather have more confidence when you go to the bank versus thinking of every possible terrible
scenario?
Well,
hold on. That's a different scenario than like heights. My fear of heights protects me.
But there's a million people that aren't
doesn't harm
injured
me.
That are walking closer to a rail at a mall, EB.
No.
That's fine. That's fine. There's no need. It doesn't hurt me. My fear of heights is healthy. Now, do Cakes and I maybe have an irrational fear when we're in a bank and our head's on a swivel or we're waiting for the masked gunman to run in? Maybe.
Yeah, but your fear of heights.
But I think that also is healthy.
Your fear of heights maybe takes away some enjoyment. Like, I've
like
seen
what?
You.
A roller coaster?
Ago, but no, at my apartment in Puerto Rico, 17th floor, you wouldn't go out to the balcony. Most
Why
people
would
love
I?
Going out to the balcony and enjoying the view,
I'll go
ocean
on the
side.
Second
go out,
balcony.
But he won't sit on the railing like you would.
Yeah, I don't sit on the railing. I don't talk.
Yeah, he's
I'm,
not going to do parkour
the video?
On the railing.
Did you see the viral video of the guy? I'm sure you've seen it. It was on the Daily Mail. It's the guy, he's on like, it almost looks like a unicycle.
Yeah.
And he goes up this bridge that's, looks like 1,000 feet. And he's on the side of the bridge on the not a unicycle, but a little mini bicycle. And
right.
It's about 1 foot wide,
right.
And the fall on either side is 1,000 feet.
It's shocking.
He rides over the whole. I mean, like, this guy's insane.
Yeah, that's I don't crazy. Need to be
insane.
That. I don't need to be that fearless. I'm fine going through my life with a healthy dose of fear. It's all
right.
Good.
Me too.
You know, I should have been more fearful yesterday when I hit my nut flush on the river. Guy fills up his full house, cripples me in the tournament.
Wow.
But right. I'm not good enough to lay that hand down. I just can't.
Let me
I can't
tell
get
you
away
how this. Let me tell you how this would blow up in my face, right? If I had this, whatever, something implanted in my brain. All right. I've got a fear of going poor. All right. And if I didn't have a fear of going poor, then I would allow my wife to spend on the credit card whenever she wanted. Yeah. And then I would go poor.
Right. See, that keeps, keeps you flush.
So it keeps me protected from that if I have the fear of it.
Correct.
Right. I wonder why. I think that is your biggest fear, is going poor.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Why do you think that is? Because, you know, listen, no matter what, you have enough money that you're never going to – you'll be fine somewhere. You may not live in a big silly, but you'll be fine. You can find a little place in New Carrollton where you can move
right,
back home.
Right, that's what I got a fear of.
Return to your roots.
It's another fear. Return
moving
to my roots.
Back home.
Right, move back to Seabrook Road.
Mall for Evie's birthday for some movie when you were a kid.
It was Seabrook, not New Carrollton, by the way.
We called it New Carrollton.
Skippy lived in New Carrollton.
No, he's saying that he lived in Seabrook, not
New
Carrollton.
Yeah, I lived in Seabrook, yeah.
But there was a New Carrollton mall or something that had movie theaters.
Absolutely. I used to go to it
definitely.
All the time.
We went there. We went there quite a bit.
I used to always go to New Carrollton Mall.
Yeah.
Right.
So you wouldn't want it.
I haven't been over there in so long. I have no idea what's over there.
You wouldn't want to have more confidence in life and less fear?
I have... A decent amount of confidence. Put it this way:
I've got enough confidence where I need it. Put it that way.
I don't need to be overly confident. Well, I wish maybe I would have like JP wouldn't have too much fear. Like I wish I had JP's confidence. In 8 days, 23 hours, and 14 minutes, I'll be calling the Marist Lacrosse their opening game against Detroit Mercy.
Right.
And I'm nervous about that. Now, if I was JP. I wouldn't be nervous.
No, you should be nervous about that. I think so. You've got to prepare for it. It's your first time.
No, I'll be prepared. Yeah. But still, it's my first time, and I'm sure I'm going to talk at the wrong time, and I'm going to over-talk the guy, and you know, I'm going to say stupid things. So I am nervous about that. If I was JP, though, I don't think I would be nervous. I think I would just be confident. So maybe in that instance, I wish I had a little more confidence.
I would be nervous in that situation. I'd be nervous. Yeah. But I might try more things than you guys, I play the math odds. You know what I mean? I was scared when I jumped out of an airplane, but I was on the back of a golden knight.
I got no desire to do that. I don't need to jump out of an airplane. I don't need to go on the scariest roller coaster.
Hey, I saw what happened to Rachel on the Bachelor last week when she just
happened?
She had a hard landing when she did a tandem skydive.
Oh,
now, she wasn't doing it with the Army Golden Knight. She was doing it probably with some fly-by-night donk on the side of the road. But, I mean, she got pummeled on her landing.
She walked away.
Yeah, but it was a rough landing.
It's a TV show, Cakes.
Okay, go back. Go watch the clip and tell me you want to land on the earth.
Did she kick her feet out?
I'm not saying it was
spread her feet out.
I'm not saying it was the smoothest landing. All I'm saying is... she didn't need crutches. She didn't need anything. She walked away.
She did walk away from it, but it's a rougher landing than you would want.
See, I have no desire for that. I don't need that. Yeah. I don't need that.
I would never jump out of an airplane.
There's plenty of – I'm trying to think what kind
unless
of
superpowers.
Like,
unless
super
I had to. Unless it was burning.
Right.
Right.
All right. I'm not jumping out of an airplane.
I wish I didn't like constantly worry about dying every day. What is that? That's anxiety, maybe. So
yeah.
That's different than fear.
It's got to have a real technical name.
Yeah. So I wish I could eliminate that on some level. You know, I didn't, like, every day check for cancer everywhere.
Yeah.
Every, you know, lymph node.
A little more time in life.
Thanatophobia. Death anxiety.
Thanatophobia.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, who doesn't have that?
I'm not thinking of a car taking me out.
Well,
I'm not
neither does Eric. Eric plays that up a little too much.
Yeah, I'm not going to be like
Cakes. I think about death
and only
all the time,
use crosswalks.
I know, but you don't think about it when you're walking down the street.
I think about death more than you think about money.
All right. Well, I don't think about money every day. Well, no, that's a lie.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I just lied on radio.
Put it this way: when I go through, do you do this when you go through an intersection? I will slow down. Like, even if it's green light, I slow down a little bit and I make sure everyone is
stopped.
Know, is making sure that they're stopping at the light too. Yeah. Like my foot is on the brake.
Well, you should.
I'm a cautious effing driver.
Every other jerk is on their phone. I was on the Beltway yesterday, and there's a woman doing 60 all the way in the left lane. Mm-hmm. So I have to get out of the left lane and pass her. And as I pass her, I give her a glance. And she's doing 60 in the left lane with one hand on the wheel and the other hand with a phone just doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Slowing the entire Beltway down. And that's just one person. I'm sure every other person is doing that. Every other person just can't drive without looking at their stupid phone.
3 weeks ago, my light turned green. And I just took my time. 5 seconds later, a guy goes right through it. This was when I was in, I don't even know where the hell I was.
So
where was I a few weeks
ago? If you would have sped off, he would have hit you?
I was in another town. I was in another state. I can't remember. I was for some volleyball tournament somewhere. I was in Columbus. Yeah. If I just go through the intersection normally, I get destroyed. Yeah, it was like
happened,
a guy in like a Camaro.
My wife.
He went
my wife,
5 seconds later. He went through it, roaring through the light.
All right. He would have T-boned
insanity.
You.
Oh, he would have just, that would have been curtains. Curtains.
In particular, Cakes Neeby, I would have thought that you would, like, I understand that they're going into your brain and they haven't mastered the technology, but I would have figured that you would like to eliminate some of those
fears. No, I would like them to go into my brain and instill more fear. I don't think I'm vigilant enough. I can be more vigilant.
Right.
Put more fear in this big dog.
What do you do that's risky, Cakes? What do you do at all that's risky?
I don't know. I try
Pick
to avoid.
Ball?
Straddles in a cash game.
Straddle, yeah.
Well, that's just throwing your
money
away.
That is dicey, though, Valdez.
That is throwing your money away.
Straddle. Yeah.
Cakes doesn't have that much of a fear, though, with money because he'll buy lottery tickets.
He's got Bitcoin.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't care. He's willing to roll.
He's got 200 grand in Bitcoin.
He was willing to roll the bones with money.
Still so bitter about
that. He didn't have that money fear.
Need to go buy some Powerball tickets this weekend. That's a good. I'm glad you reminded me of that.
Yeah.
JP, what's your biggest fear? Because you never talk about your fears. You seem to not be afraid of anything.
I mean, I think I'm afraid of like snakes and just like silly stuff.
Well,
when I go for a run,
when do you encounter a snake? I mean, how often are you going to encounter a snake?
Every once in a while on a run, believe it or not.
See, that's one part where I would like to be JP. He's not afraid of many things. He doesn't really get in. I don't even think he's that anxious. It's weird. How can he not be anxious?
I don't know.
Whole life is anxiety.
Why do you got to walk around with anxiety? You just deal with
it.
Wired
differently.
Whenever something happens, you just deal with it.
Yeah, it's awful. I'm trying to avoid it.
JP, Why would I fixate on death 24/7? It's going to happen.
It
could happen
you.
Today, or it could happen 30 years from now.
Because it's everywhere.
He's got a fear of clutter. Or
JP?
Or collecting
yeah,
objects.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah. Jason has
well,
it,
I've
too,
got
though.
That.
I just don't like it.
Not like JP.
I've got fear of dirty floors.
How many times have we heard one in, one out?
That's a good policy, bro.
Dude, I need that policy right now.
I've been to Goodwill 6 times in the last 2 weeks.
Are you kidding?
3 times.
Come over to my garage. Pick up that LS sweatsuit I got in there.
Why am I going to bring stuff from this house to the next house if I don't use it?
Yeah.
JP, I go to Goodwill. My wife and I go to Goodwill probably 6 times a month.
Wow.
Keep those receipts.
Just to give away stuff?
Write-offs. Silly write-offs.
Does your wife buy stuff there and then refinish it?
I think there's a max of the write-off, but yeah.
Right. Do they sell furniture at Goodwill? Does your wife pick up stuff there?
Yeah, they
sell furniture. Refinish and resell them?
You can get furniture there, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
But
I'm a one-way guy there. I've never picked up something there.
Just all right, do we have Turge next?
Yes.
Terps have won 4 in a row.
Big game
against
Sparty.
They've been on fire, home game against Michigan State. On Sunday, we'll talk to the head coach of the Maryland Terrapins next, Mark Turgeon, here on the Junkies.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.